My name is Jeremy Devins, and this is the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast, where I talk about the weekly horoscopes, or what I call the Friday forecast, and Vedic astrology. So if you don't know Vedic astrology, you want to get your free birth chart at quietmindastrology.com, and then you can follow along. And I'll talk about how to work with the seven major transits happening in May 2024. For everybody. So regardless of your rising or moon sign, this episode is directed at everybody and all the major themes and the most important dates this month. And one very important date is that today, right now, the Yoga and Ayurveda mentorship is open for enrollment, and enrollment closes this Monday in April 30th in 2024. So if you're listening to this later, you can join the wait list. It'll close Monday at midnight Eastern time. And this is the place to go really deep into your practices of yoga and Ayurveda, the sister sciences of Jyotish or Vedic astrology. So if you've been wanting to have a deeper yoga practice and have more consistency and support in learning the anatomy, philosophy, and the deeper aspects, this is a really cool program. It's the ninth iteration I've done now over the past 10 years. So I'm very excited to offer this. And it's at quietmind.yoga/YAM, the Yoga and Ayurveda Mentorship. So what's going on in the skies right now? Well, let's do a little check-in of what the astrological influences that we're all working with. First of all, the eclipse season is over. Yay! Celebration. So these are the big transformational times of the year, of course. They happen every 6 months. The big portals that we go through of change. So you've likely gone through some major important decisions in your past 6 weeks that this has been happening. It's a six-week portal. And what does it mean specifically for you? Well, check the recent episodes over the last 6 weeks about the sign-by-sign interpretations for your rising and moon sign to better understand that. But likely you're at a point now of on the other side of a decision through a doorway that you've opened the door, now you close the door, and you can't go back. So you're in this other side of this area of your life. It's going to depend on your rising and moon sign. So look at that. And then now we move forward into the next 6 month chapter of your story. We've finished that chapter. We're on to the next chapter in this ongoing story of our lives. Mercury retrograde has ended now, but we're still in the Gandhanta section of the transit where retrograde is over, and now we've gone back over things. Hopefully in the past month you've reviewed, revised, revisited some of the decisions you made in the areas of Mercury affected in your chart. So again, you always got to know your own houses to make the most of this, but I'll do the best to broadly speak to this. But you review, revise, revisit, and reflect on things that need to be updated, changed, and improved. But Mercury's still Gandhanta, so there may be some communication misunderstandings at this time, and these karmic knots that need to be untied. And often this frees up a lot of energy when you untie this karmic knot, this area where energy is not flowing in your communication, your business, your finances. And there's going to be a lot of potential to move forward with the transits of May. Venus is Gandhanta now in this time as well, where there's some relationship karma that needs to be addressed and again, untied, unknotted, to free up more energy for your relationships, to express your love, to express yourself artistically, to enjoy sensual pleasures, sight, taste, touch, sound, all these things. Jupiter is leaving Aries, so ending the 12-month cycle. Jupiter is in every sign for 12 months, and it goes through all 12 signs in 12 years. So it's not going to be back to Aries again for 12 years. And it's a big deal, you know, when it has this time here, and now that's the end of that chapter of Jupiter being in Aries, of where there was potential for a lot of growth, expansion, new beginnings in your life. And again, look where Aries is in your chart, that house in particular. And now it moves on to Taurus, which I talked about last week, really popular episode, one of my most popular episodes. So if you haven't checked that out, go back to last week's episodes on Jupiter and Taurus and what that means for everybody and how to work with that energy. And now Rahu's in Pisces still, Ketu's in Virgo until early 2025. Again, this is a long-term 18-month transit. And Rahu in Pisces bringing major insights into our intuition. Ketu in Virgo bringing a deepening of our own health and wellness awareness and things we need to let go to be more healthy. and practical in our lives. Saturn in Aquarius until early 2025. This is the big catalyst of major breakthroughs in technology that we've seen with AI and robotics and self-driving cars, all sorts of crazy advancements in technology. And this is par for the course with Saturn and Aquarius. Last time it was there was the big breakthrough of the internet. What is the internet? What is an email address? You know, that kind of stuff in the mid-90s. Now it's like, AI, what is AI? How do we use it? What are we doing with AI? Is it going to take over the world? Is it useless? Whatever. You know, the same kind of energy now is present like it was last time Saturn was in Aquarius. So it's a time of big breakthroughs and big technological revolutions, and that just disrupts everything. It disrupts employment, it disrupts lifestyles, jobs, families, all sorts of stuff. So it's big changing energy and scientific breakthroughs. And then, of course, the USA is in its Pluto return from 2020 to 2040. And in February, on 2/22, it had that exact right over the natal Pluto. So this is a big deal when a country has its Pluto return. There's usually revolutions and a lot of upheaval and change. And I've talked about this a lot over the past years. So this is an ongoing one that's just getting started. We're still early in this one. But it is a sign of revolution and change. So, and that's affecting the whole world because the U.S. has been the world leader since post-World War II. And the dollar has been the standard currency of the world, essentially. But that's likely changing towards something digital by 2030. When Saturn moves over to Aries, into Taurus, and that's a common thing we've seen throughout history of changing of currencies. So that's coming up, but big implications on the global stage. But I like to focus on the things that you can directly influence and what's empowering rather than disempowering. So let's look at what you can influence and work with this month. But first, I do need to say 7 things to keep in mind for all transits. And this is something I haven't shared overtly before, a horoscope, but it is really important. And to really know how to like make it useful to you personally, something I will be sharing a whole episode about, so I can just reference back to that in the future. But I'm going to just say these things that always keep in mind with all transits. That's very important. So number one, trust your intuition. Astrology just validates what you already know. So this is something I hear a lot in readings and my own readings I've experienced. A lot of the things you'll pick up on in astrology are validating intuitions that you had, and it just feels right. And if it doesn't feel right, then it's probably not a good reading or a good astrologer, or there's maybe something that is out of alignment in yourself. But most of the time, intuitively, you're going to just sense like what you need to know, where to go, who to be, and the astrology will validate that and give you reassurance and clarity, and some clarity into the future. It's very good, especially Vedic, of knowing the sort of timelines of things and knowing how to work with upcoming energies. But for anything in the past, it's really just, it's validating your intuition. Like, you know these things to be true, but there's putting words to it now. And usually, so often in readings, people will laugh, especially at the negative stuff. It's like, how did you know that? They feel so seen, and you feel so seen in a reading when somebody can really see all your good and bad, light and dark, and astrology is showing us that. So if you haven't had a reading before, you can book readings at my site, by the way, quietmindastrology.com. I do have some availability there for the summer. So number two thing to keep in mind for all transits is if you're doubting your intuition, then you need to calibrate your compass, right? Just like if we use a compass on the phone, you've got to calibrate it to true north before it's useful. If you want to use your compass of your intuition, you've got to calibrate to your true self before it's really going to help you. And I've talked to people over the past who've said things like, my compass is broken. Well, what are you doing that's not calibrating your compass to your true self? There's things that you know are not serving you. It may be helpful to replace them with things that do serve you, that do get you aligned with your true self, like yoga and meditation, etc. This is what we're doing in the Yoga and Ayurveda Mentorship Program. It's a 12-week immersion in practices to calibrate your compass, to connect to your true self, to live from your true self. Those practices can help immensely, whether you work with me or someone else. But I highly recommend that if you're ever unsure, foggy, unclear, that is not the time to try to force a decision, to try to say, well, I guess my intuition is saying this. If you're guessing, it's not your intuition. and your compass is probably calibrated to something external you can't control. It's maybe it's just a day that you need to take a rest, maybe some sort of transit happening that particular day that I don't talk about too much here on the podcast, like Moon-Saturn conjunction. If those planets are not super well placed in your own chart, that can be a more challenging one. But in short, if you're doubting your intuition, calibrate your compass. Number three, always defer to your birth chart over anything else in astrology, over your divisional charts, over the transits, the dashas, anything I say here. Your birth chart is primary, especially your ascendant, moon, and dominant placements you have in your chart. Like if you have three or more planets in one sign, that's a very dominant energy. So you might have ascendant in Aries, moon in Taurus, but you've got four planets in Gemini. Gemini is actually going to have a very strong influence on your whole life and your chart, and Mercury as well, because it rules Gemini. So when in doubt, always defer to your birth chart to better understand yourself and what your predilections are, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. And then from there, the transits help you better understand yourself and where to go forward. Number four, your Mahadasha is the major chapter of the life that you're living through right now. So if you're in the Saturn Mahadasha, that is a long cycle of learning about maturity, wisdom, patience, doing deep trainings, these kind of things. If you're in your K2 Mahadasha, that's a shorter chapter of your life, but it's a time of learning to let go, find more spiritual pursuits, and let go of more material things. So knowing your Mahadasha is essential to really understanding your life and your transits. And what dasha you're in is going to have a big influence on everything else. And then if like you're in the K2 dasha, the K2 transits are going to be more impactful for you. And if you've got like four planets in Gemini, like I mentioned, and you're in the Mercury dasha, everything with Mercury is going to be very dominant and very influential for you, even if that's not your rising or moon or even sun. So knowing your Mahadasha is the major chapter of your life that you're living through right now. And then number five, your Antar Dasha is the paragraph of that chapter. So if you look in a book at a chapter, it can be very long and then it can have several paragraphs. The Antar Dasha is like paragraph, like the general, like what are we talking about here in the chapter of your life? And then within that, there's three more layers of sub-dashas that you can go into, but those are more like the sentences of the chapter that you're in and more specific. And I find it's better with the dashas to look at the Mahadasha and Antardasha primarily. And then the third layer, if you get a reading, that's also pretty important. If you're looking at like upcoming dates, should I travel on this date? Should I move on this date? Should I publish this thing on that date? In a reading, you can look at your dashas and the upcoming dashas for understanding that, and then where those planets are in your chart. So there's a lot to look at. I recommend you consult an expert, an astrologer. You can book readings with me, and then we can look at this if you're curious. If you've got upcoming dates you're trying to plan for, you can schedule with me at quietmindastrology.com. But if you know your own chart pretty well, you can work with this pretty well. Number six thing to keep in mind with all transits is that the transits that are over your ascendant show what you're working through overall in life. And number seven, the transits over your moon show what you're working through in your mind and emotions more internally. So that's why I always say in the sign-by-sign horoscopes, when we talk about the big transits like Jupiter into Taurus recently on the podcast, I talk about how that affects you for your rising and moon. And then I'm using the houses and the aspects to understand what that means for you. So if you want to understand this for yourself and be your own astrologer to some degree, look at your own ascendant, your own moon, and this is going to tell you how for your ascendant it's affecting your overall life, all areas of life, and for your moon, what's happening more internally and over those houses in your chart. So those are seven big things to keep in mind for all transits all the time. Number one, trust your intuition. Number two, if you're doubting your intuition, calibrate your compass through practices like yoga and meditation. Number three, always defer to your birth chart, especially your ascendant, moon, and dominant placements. Number four, your Mahadasha is the major chapter of your own life that you're living through. It's different for everyone. Number five, your Antardasha is the paragraph you're living through that's even more precise to you. And number six, the transits over your ascendant show you what you're working through overall in life. Number seven, the transits over your moon show what you're working through in your mind and emotions through these transits that we'll talk about now. So in May 2024, the most important dates to look out for and plan around, and we'll talk about in depth in a moment. Number one, Wednesday, May 1st, Jupiter moves into Taurus for a year. Number two, Wednesday, May 8th, there's a new moon in Barani in Aries. Number three, on Friday, May 10th, Mercury moves into Aries for 20 days. Number four, on Tuesday, May 14th, the Sun moves into Taurus for a month, 30 days. Number five, Saturday, May 18th, Venus moves into Taurus for 24 days. Number six, on Thursday, May 23rd, there's a full moon in Anuradha Nakshatra in the sign of Scorpio. And number seven, on Friday, May 31st, Mercury moves into Taurus for 13 days. So as you can see, a lot of Taurus and Aries stuff going on this month. A lot of Venus and Mars kind of energies strong this month. And what I didn't mention here is Mars and Rahu are conjunct through this month. And that is a quite intense transit as well that brings a lot more passion and intensity to everything else. So let's look at what all of this means for all of us, how we can best work with this. And the major themes, if I had to pick just three words to describe May 2024, to focus on stability, expansion, and depth. Stability, expansion, and depth. So the first transit on May 1st, Jupiter moves into Taurus, starting in Kritika Nakshatra. It stays in Taurus for a year. This is one of the big transits of the whole year, one of the biggest ones. That's why it's got a star next to it. If you took the Mindful New Year program, I put stars next to the big transits for the year. When I do the annual horoscope. So Jupiter in Taurus brings expansion, abundance, and growth in all material matters and family matters. It has us open to a new level of stability, to take practical, grounded, and expansive action. Stability and expansion. It's a time where we can enjoy more of the pleasures of life, sensuality, art, music, creativity, learning from mentors and teachers. And it's a time that we could go into overindulgence or stubbornness. We want to practice being present for what we are enjoying sensually and the abundance and growth that we're having, and not become greedy or overindulgent. That's going on all year from May 1st into May 2025, bringing expansion but also stability. So it's a really wonderful influence and overall a positive transit for a lot of us. So I looked at this for sign by sign. You can go back to that episode as well. Now again, for all of us who are experiencing the new moon in Barani Nakshatra in Aries on May 8th, this is a great time for new beginnings and fresh starts in your personal and creative pursuits. There's a positive energy for asserting your individual goals and your self-expression. This new moon brings new beginnings, new potential. Aries brings this intensity to begin, to start. And Barani, the symbol of a yoni, to birth something new into this life, this portal between worlds that can bring beginnings of things, but also there could be some necessary endings shortly before this. There's increased determination and focus on initiating new projects. There's a potential for impatience or conflicts arising from being too assertive. So there is this fiery energy of Mars throughout the month with some of the stubbornness of Taurus. So we could be overly assertive and impatient in May. So being aware of that allows us to practice presence and just focus on what we want to create and the boundaries that we need to set for ourselves. I personally will be moving house on May 8th myself, still in Mexico, but just a different area, same region. But yeah, May 8th, new moon, new beginnings, good time for starting something new in your life. And I chose that date based on the astrology to start something new for myself. Friday, May 10th, Mercury moves into Aries. So more of this Aries energy, this assertive communication now. So this brings energetic and assertiveness into our communication, energy and assertiveness. And there's a positive influence on initiating conversations and negotiations. So if there's something you need to talk about, this is a time, May 10th to 30th, to talk about it. And great for business dealings as well. If you want to initiate a business conversation or contract, favorable time for expressing your ideas with more confidence, and there's a potential for verbal conflicts or impulsive decision making from May 10th to 30th this month. Mercury is our thinking, moves very fast. We have a million thoughts a day. And Mercury is this fast-moving planet in Aries, very fast energy. So there can be a lot of fast decisions, quick movement, quick changes in your life. And that can be too fast and spin off the rails. So don't be overly impulsive with this, but go with the energy. Start things, begin things, communicate about things. But yeah, there could be some conflicts here with being overly assertive, too fast, and not slowing down to connect with others that you're connecting with. Then on Tuesday, May 14th, the sun moves into Taurus, more of this stabilizing energy. Grounded and practical approach to financial and material matters. So I'm getting the sense that this would be a great time once all this Taurus energy begins in May through the next year for investments, stocks, long-term investments, things like this. It's a positive influence on stability, growth, and practical pursuits. Starting a garden, very favorable at this time, or attending to a garden. Favorable time for cultivating and enjoying the pleasures of life. Going to a beach, laying in a hammock, enjoying good food. If you're somebody who doesn't enjoy cooking, maybe try cooking for pleasure and to enjoy the senses, the smells, the textures of the food. Enjoyment, getting massages, listening to music that you like, putting on candles. Potential for stubbornness or resistance to change with this energy. As we start to settle into this Taurus energy throughout May, you might start to find some comforts in your life that it's hard to get out of, and you want to just enjoy the comfort. On Saturday, May 18th, Venus moves into Taurus, joining the Taurus party for 24 days. There's a grounded and sensual approach to relationships and partnerships. Venus is in its own sign here, so it takes all things to do with relationships to a more practical level, but also to a more sensual level. It's a wonderful energy. Now, Venus is ruling all these planets because they're in Taurus. So Sun and Jupiter and Mercury, all in Taurus, now answering to Venus, your desire. Venus and Jupiter are considered the royal advisors in Jyotish, where we follow the desires of Venus, what we want in life, what we want to move towards, what feels good, what we enjoy. But also Jupiter is the other advisor of what's the smart thing to do, what's wise to do, what's going to lead to more growth and wisdom and expansion and maturity. And now both of these energies are coming together. So our pleasure, our enjoyment, our desire with our wisdom and growth in life to help us make wiser decisions that lead to greater growth in our finances and our relationships. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. It's a positive influence for cultivating beauty and harmony in your surroundings and yourself. Having a spa day, getting a makeover, getting a new wardrobe, getting your nails done, get a manicure, pedicure. These kind of things, the self-care, enjoyment, pleasure, nourishing yourself, nurturing yourself, tending to your garden, eating good foods, enjoying foods. If there's somewhere in your life where you're not actually enjoying this thing you're doing, this the work you're doing, the way that you've set up your schedule in your life, if you're not really enjoying it and having pleasure and taking pleasure in it, this is a month that's going to invite you to reconsider that maybe you could have work that you enjoy and love. Maybe you could eat food that you enjoy and love. You could have a schedule and lifestyle that you enjoy and love. And this is a great month also to be doing Ayurvedic practices, and looking at the Ayurvedic clock is very helpful. That's something we'll be doing in the yoga and Ayurveda mentorship. And looking at your own lifestyle is like, are the foods that you're eating actually nourishing you on a cellular level and the tissues in your body? And there's so many things that may seem good for us, but they're actually not serving us for our dosha, for our unique type, and for our vikriti, our state, and our current environment. This is a mistake I've made many times because it is very challenging to stay on top of that with the season changes, and if you travel, and then knowing yourself, and then your own life changes. So Venus in Taurus is a great time to get deeper into Ayurvedic practices of knowing your dosha and eating in a way that nourishes you and sustains you. So often, what almost always happens is you eat in a way that exacerbates your dosha, and dosha means fault. So when you're eating a vata diet, but you're a vata type person, you're going to become more ungrounded, more anxious, more worried. If you're a pitta person, you're eating a pitta diet, you're going to become more angry, more irritable. So throughout this month, especially in the middle of the month on to June, it's a great time to get deeper into Ayurveda. If you want a recommendation, the book of Ayurveda is a great reference. That's something I refer people to a lot. It's something I use as a reference for myself when I teach about Ayurveda. So the book of Ayurveda will give you some great recommendations in there and work with this energy. And if you want to go deeper with it, the Yoga and Ayurveda mentorship is a way to do that with me throughout the next 3 months. So this is a favorable time for enjoying the pleasures of life, of course, material comforts, and again, has a potential for stubbornness, resistance to change in relationships in particular. But yeah, all this Taurus energy, you know, it's the cliche. I just saw a meme the other day, or a reel, somebody, he said he's a Taurus. First word, stubborn. It's so common this comes up with Taurus, but that's not all Taurus is, but it is one of the possible shadow sides of enjoying things and wanting them to stay the way they are. So stability becomes stubbornness. But if you don't have stability in your life, then you might benefit from being a little more stubborn right now to create that stability and just say, this is the way you're going to go. This is what you need. This is what you're going to take care of. Setting firmer boundaries, having a clearer schedule, that can actually help you create more stability if you don't have stability right now. But if you already do, things are so stable, you're kind of bored, then it's a good time to invite in more change. Follow your desire, which is always changing. Follow the Jupiter guidance, which is always growing. And then you'll likely have more enjoyment and less boredom, if that's where you're at. On Thursday, May 23rd, there's a full moon in Anuradha in Scorpio to bring in a little cataclysmic kind of transformation and depth and growth. So this is a time of culmination and transformation in relationships. And of course, whenever we have a full moon, that's a time of culmination, celebration, fulfillment. And then we move into the waning phase of the moon, a time to withdraw energy a bit, to go back more internal. But once we're moving towards May 23rd, as we're moving towards the end of May, we're increasing energy, increasing our attention on what we want to build and create in our lives, how we want to learn and grow and transform, reaching a culmination on May 23rd where there could be a big breakthrough and a major transformation in our lives, in ourselves, in our relationships. It's a positive energy for deep emotional insights and deep healing. Great day for doing deep meditative work, deep healing work. There's increased awareness and intensity in your social interactions, and there's potential for emotional intensity and power struggles. So full moon days, there's more accidents, more people go into the hospital typically on these days. So it's a day to be more mindful of your energy and your intensity, and especially with Scorpio Anuradha energy. But Anuradha is about what we want to move towards in life, and it is a great energy to be clear on what you want to move towards and the goals that you have, and celebrate the progress that you've made and go deeper onto that path from the full moon. And then finally, on May 31st, we get one more Mercury transit this month in signs, so Mercury to Taurus. And this is a practical and grounded communication in financial and material matters. It's a positive influence on making practical decisions regarding possessions, and a favorable time for discussions about value and resources. And there's potential for stubbornness or resistance to change in your communication at this time. But also, again, a good time for talking about the things that you need to talk about. So Mercury was in Aries. That's a time where you might just say what you need to say, be a little blunt. Now in Taurus, it's a little more grounded approach of what you communicate, and you're addressing more financial things. So get this Virgo energy together with this Venus energy, or excuse me, not Virgo, Mercury energy together with this Venus energy, where like Virgo, we can analyze things a little more practically and look at our finances more practically, our investments. And we can take more practical actions and make more practical decisions regarding material matters and our resources. So that's our look at these most important dates for May 2024, which are, again, Wednesday, May 1st, Jupiter in Taurus for a year. Wednesday, May 8th, new moon in Bharani in Aries. Friday, May 10th, Mercury moves into Aries for 20 days. Tuesday, May 14th, the Sun moves into Taurus for 30 days. Saturday, May 18th, Venus in Taurus for 24 days. Thursday, May 23rd, a full moon in Anuradha Nakshatra in Scorpio. And then Friday, May 31st, Mercury into Taurus. So again, a lot of expansion and stability and depth. It's major themes for May 2024. How do you want to grow and expand in your life? How can you create more stability with that expansion so we're not going off the rails? And then go deeper into those depths of the stability that we do create this month and well over the next several months into 2024. And of course, if you want support with all that, the yoga and Ayurveda mentorship is, I'm really excited to offer this. This will be a really cool program to go deeper into all this kind of stuff, your own personal growth with yoga and Ayurveda and some astrology in there as well. We'll talk about your birth chart and, but really learning how to apply all this to your life to calibrate your compass to what matters most to you and create the life in alignment with what matters most in your health, wealth, relationships, and purpose. So enrollment is open right now at quietmindyoga.com/YAM, and it closes on Monday at midnight Eastern time. And that is our Quiet Mind Astrology podcast for this week. If you enjoyed it, share it with a friend. Astrology is more fun with friends. Get their birth info, share your info, talk about the transits, how it's affecting you. It is more fun this way. Follow me on Instagram for all my funny memes. This is where I express my funny side because I'm not able to bring it out here on the podcast as much, but it comes out in the Instagram reels and stories. So check it out at Quiet Mind Astrology on Instagram and leave a rating review on Apple Podcasts. It helps a lot. Thank you for listening. Look forward to sharing more with you next time on the Quiet Mind Astrology podcast.